comes from Luke 19. Jesus is helping his disciples understand what they're going to be doing in the world after he leaves them. So follow along as you see it both printed in your order of worship or on the screen. As they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went to a distant country to get royal power for himself and then return. He summoned 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 pounds and said to them, 'Do business with these until I come back.' When he returned, having received royal power, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money to be summoned, so that he might find out what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, 'Lord, your pound has made 10 more pounds. And the master said to him, "Well done, good slave. Because you've been trustworthy in a very small thing, take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came, saying, "Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. And the master said to him, "And you rule over 5 cities. Then the other came, saying, "Lord, here is your pound. I wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, for I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." The master said to him, "I would judge you by your own words, you wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I was a harsh man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow? Why then did you not put my money into the bank? Then when I returned, I could have collected it with interest." So the master said to the bystanders, "Take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And the bystander said to him, "But Lord, he already has 10 pounds. The master said, "I tell you, to all those who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." May the Spirit give us wisdom to hear and to understand God's word today. Time is running out for Jesus. He's in Jericho at this moment. He's just called Zacchaeus out of that sycamore tree by saying, "I have to come to your house today and eat with you." And Zacchaeus' life was changed. That person who had stolen from all of his countrymen promised to give it all back and then some. In Jericho, Jesus is just a 6-hour walk from Jerusalem. He's just a 6-hour walk away from his triumphal entry into the city and from his apparent crucifixion defeat that will be just 5 days later. He's about to enter Jerusalem, but the disciples are still confused. They see Jerusalem as the place and the time that Jesus will ascend to power and to begin the reign of God in their midst. They're not completely off base. Jesus will receive his royal power to rule from the Father at his death and his resurrection. But he won't return to establish that reign, that heaven on earth, that wiping all the tears from our eyes, that final judgment on evil, quite yet. He's on his way back, but his return will take longer than the disciples had first imagined. So he told them this parable. He is the nobleman who's gone to receive power, but he's still on his way back to his kingdom. And he's creating a vision for what his followers and all of us are to do in the meantime. So we're glad that Jesus has given us this parable because we've been trying to figure out how are we to manage our time in this world. It's an uncomfortable place to wait. We wonder, what should our role in the world be? Should we hunker down and circle the wagons and build a wall so that the world won't taint us and dilute our values? Or should we launch an all-out assault on the values of the world to make this nation a Christian nation, this world a Christian world? Or should we just blend into the crowd and not call attention to ourselves? It's such a hostile world, we don't want that hostility to turn on us. Last week we discovered that none of those responses are accurate. We discovered that we're to be like the exiles in Babylon, whom God has placed there for the good of the world, that we should seek the welfare of the place where we've been planted. And now in this parable about in between times, in between Jesus receiving his royal power and his return to set heaven on earth, we're finally told what we're to do while we wait for heaven. Here it is. We're to steward the kingdom of God in the world so that the world experiences the welfare of God's household. Let me say that again. We're to steward the kingdom of God in the world so the world experiences the welfare of God's household. Now, I know that sounds a little abstract, so let's try an example. How many of you have ever responded to a mailing you got that promised a free weekend in Florida in exchange for a 90-minute presentation? I've responded to that. It seems like a really good deal, 2 nights and 3 days for just 90 minutes, but who could have anticipated how pressured those 90 minutes would be? Stewarding the kingdom of God is like a timeshare presentation without all the pressure. Now, I know that sounds like that's dangerously thin ice to equate the kingdom of God to a timeshare presentation. And Pastor, you're really selling it now, aren't you? Stewarding the kingdom is offering the world around us a taste test of what it is like to live in God's household. And that's what a timeshare presentation is. It is a free weekend in order to test it out. Once you try it, you'll like it, and you want to make this place your home, is the idea. That's okay. Maybe this illustration will make more sense if you think about that timeshare being at Disney World. When my children were young, we would return to Clearwater, Florida every year to visit their grandparents. And Clearwater is only 90 minutes from Orlando, so we would always take in a trip to Disney World. And normally we'd spend the night at a cheap motel outside the park because we'd stay to the end of the day till the fireworks were done. But one time we ponied up the money to stay at a resort inside the park, and it is a remarkably different experience. The magic of Disney is that you're entering an entirely different world. Isn't that why we go there? They call it the Magic Kingdom for a reason. Once you're there, every employee in the park is committed to you experiencing the magic of another world, no matter how hot and humid it might be. Everything works together to present to you an alternative universe for a day that you are living, so that when that day is over, you would wish you don't have to go home. And when you stay at a resort hotel, you don't have to. The magic continues. In case you've had a bad experience at Disney, let me see if I can redeem this illustration. Like Disneyland, the kingdom of God is a parallel universe. It already exists side by side with the ordinary world we live in. Unlike Disney, one doesn't have to go someplace to find this kingdom. It exists all around us. The kingdom of God comes to us, wherever we are, to tell us about how Jesus could reign in our lives. Like Disney, every employee, everyone has a part to play in conveying the kingdom experience. It doesn't matter who you are in the Disney lineup, if you're a Disney princess or if you collect trash, everyone is equally responsible for communicating the wonder of the park. The nobleman Jesus gathers his 10 servants. He entrusts to them the privilege of representing his household while he's away. He conveys his trust in them by giving each of them a pound to invest. A pound would be equal to 4 months' income. This has to be a promotion for them. One can assume that these servants would never have acted on behalf of the household on their own before. But now they're entrusted with a portion of the household that they're to manage for the good of all. The master gives them the pound, and then he says, use this in the world to bring the well-being of this house to those around you. Each of us has been entrusted with the privilege of representing the kingdom of God to the world. All of us are entrusted with a portion of God's household to live out wherever we are. Our gifts and our roles may differ, but they all matter. No role is more important than another. These gifts to the kingdom that we're to trade as we interact with the world are not just spiritual gifts, like those described in Romans 12. It's not just prophecy or teaching or encouragement or compassion. The gifts we've been given are the kingdom of God itself, to trade with the world in the ordinary, everyday interactions we have. So these servants of the nobleman were in the village, trading with the merchants, arranging for the education of children in the household, paying the nobleman's taxes, participating in village decisions. And in everything they did, they represented the master's household in every interaction. So also you and I represent Jesus' kingdom in every role, in every relationship, in every interaction we have. We represent the master of the kingdom. We have his best intentions in mind for his people. So we trade and we talk and we work and we relate in ways that promote the well-being of all in his realm, because that is the master's desire. So every relationship, every transaction, every conversation, everything we do brings the blessings of the kingdom of God to the world around us. It's not just about evangelism. It's also about living the freedom and the integrity and the compassion and love of God everywhere we are. Most of you know that I'm an identical twin. I'm the good twin. My brother is the evil twin. You know this because he works for the oil industry. And my brother has to be the most serious representative of the kingdom of God as he does business of anyone I've ever met. I am truly impressed with him. His job is to secure all the materials needed for his company to frack for natural gas. And you may be aware that the natural gas industry has just really collapsed in on itself. But he has made a practice, and he's convinced his supervisor or manager ahead of him to let him do this, that every time he conducts a business transaction, his goal is not just to win for his company the best price possible, no matter how much it might cost the provider, but his deal is to allow both companies to benefit, both companies to prosper, which means his company would get less. But it means they would build a working relationship, a trust that they could return to again and again. And at first, his manager was apprehensive about that. And as he approaches vendors about this, most of them distrust him. They can't figure it out. Why would you want to take less so that we could both have a sustainable business? But for those who take him up on it, they create a business relationship they can go back to again and again. That's being a faithful servant, steward, the household of God in the world. Faithful stewards know the heart of the nobleman. They believe that his reign means God's good for all. They understand that they are privileged and honored to be entrusted with a part of that household. And they want to make it all count so that when the nobleman comes home for good, there'll be more grateful citizens in his kingdom. So faithful stewards are prayerfully asking, what might the people I meet today need from the household of God that I have in my care? That's what I have to give this world. That's what the world needs from me. The portion of God's house entrusted to me. Let's pray together. Unfortunately, Lord, even though we all are living in your house together, some of us don't get you. Some are afraid that every hardship that comes their way is something you've imposed upon them, that you take from them. Obviously, they couldn't be more wrong. Forgive us, Lord, for when we live in a way that doesn't trust you. And help us to live in a way that sees the blessing of being in your home and being sent from this home out into the world with all the goodness of the reign of God to exchange with others. We're grateful, Lord, that we don't do this on our own because we are acting with you and for you. The power of God is in our midst, and you are accomplishing good through our ordinary affairs of life that we could never have accomplished on our own. And you're extending your household out into the village, out into the world, as we just play our part and do the little things we've been given to do. And that way you change the world. We don't have to be afraid of what's happening in the world, Lord, because you're happening. And you're bringing your good and extending your kingdom through each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.